This is part two of the HIMSS presentation here at the NFB Convention 2013. You're still stuck with me, Scott Hegley from HIMSS. The good news is, well, maybe it's not good news. Dave Wilkinson, who is brand new with us, he's not new to our industry, but he's brand new to us, has joined us. Jenny had to go back to the booth, so we swapped out one partner, and I've got another one, so that's great. I just want to thank the Cerotalk folks, Cerotech folks, for doing Cerotalk. I knew I was going to do that wrong. And HIMSS is proud to be a sponsor of the Cerotalk convention coverage. It's been a long day already, and it's only day one. So we appreciate that. Just a reminder that all of what we have done today is available for download later on the Cerotalk website. So we're looking forward to that. Thank you guys for doing that. We covered in the first portion the information pretty much on the version 8.0, which was released for the Braille U2, the BrailleSense products, the U2, the U2 QWERTY, etc., and the other products as well, like the OnHand. We're going to be jumping in now into a little bit different information here. We're going to be talking specifically about deafblind applications, about iOS, in other words, working with the iPhone, iPod, iPads. We're going to be talking about the new 1.1 release for the Braille Edge. And so those are our main topics for this second half. We're going to start with Dave, who is going to specifically talk about multitasking. Dave, can you multitask?
I am the king of multitasking.
But you don't have to, because it's up to your U2 or
your
Braille Edge.
U2 can multitask.
To do the multitasking.
So that's right. U2 can multitask. I guess a couple things briefly. I am Dave Wilkinson. Some of you all may know me from previous jobs that I've had in this industry. I've worked for other assistive technology manufacturers and took a break to work for a distributor for a while. And it's an honor and a privilege to be working with HIMSS, to be with a product that I've been envious of for a long time when I was working for the other folks. And now I get to actually show the best note taker that's out there and look at some of the more cutting edge products that are out there. And it's an honor and a privilege to be able to do it. For multitasking, what we're going to do,
voice on.
I'm going to turn my speech on.
Clipboard and paste text.
So what we're going to do, we're going to go into our terminal for screen reader mode on the BrailleSense U2. I have two ways of doing that. I could either go through the utilities menu and then hit S for screen reader, or I'm going to take the shortcut way and hit an S with function key 1.
Task A, schedule manager.
Except that I hit the wrong thing, so now we're going to go through
find U2. Date.
See,
Tuesday.
This is when I tell you that I'm new.
But turn uppercase. Closing mail. Email E. Calculator C. Bluetooth serial port B. List item connected. Terminal mode.
And now we're going to unlock my iPhone.
Slide to unlock.
Let's turn that up a
messages
bit for you.
Double tap to clock.
How's that?
Double tap to open.
It's going to have to be. I think we just about maxed it out. So now at this point, as many of you all know with the Braille display, I've got complete control of my iPhone through the Braille display.
Weather folder, iTunes, App Store, page 1 of 5, adjustable.
We could find all kinds of stuff
iTunes
on here.
Weather clock, weather folder, opening
I'm looking
weather
at the weather,
weather,
and then suddenly
open.
Scott calls, and I've got to go into my word processor. So from here, all I have to do is just go to
five
function key 1,
F,
and now I'm going to go into my word processor. And it's going to be open, and I'm ready to write a message from Scott.
Scott is talking to me, period. What is he saying? Question. I. Yes. I. Should. Listen, period. End, period. Scott is talking to me. What is he saying? I guess I should listen.
Oh, I didn't. Oh, because I didn't put a space afterwards. That was silly.
Document space lower D. Not period.
There we go. Now we get our not. And now all I have to do to go back into my terminal for screen reader is go back
file
into
manager,
is I can hit my function keys
task
2 and 3 together.
Terminal for screen reader.
And now I hit enter, and I'm back into the weather on my iPhone.
Weather. Weather radio.
So that's not particularly a difficulty thing. I bet you all were noisier the first half, weren't you?
Not really.
Not really? Are you all a quiet group? This is day one. You've got many more days to go. Don't get tired now. So we can totally multitask between here and the phone. The U2 itself, even independently of your terminal for screen reader mode, can multitask. So if I want to go into music, I can listen to music. Do we have Wi-Fi in here?
We do not.
Okay, that's going to make things interesting. So we'll go back out.
File manager F. Media player F. Voice off.
Okay, and now we're going to go into our media player.
Favorite app dictionary, hymns folders, hymns, Mac lyrics folder, manuals folder, not maps folder, 10, media folder, my books folder, media folder, radio folder, 1, record folder, 0, 1, medium, now, dot, mp, 3, 3, 9.
Here we go, we'll go through this the back way.
0, 3, and medium, dot, mp, 3, 0,
we've got all kinds of stuff on there.
MP, 3, 5, 0, 4,
let's try to find something
MP,
worth
3, 6, 9.
Here we go.
List item.
Now we start playing a song by Vienna Ting, an awesome sort of piano folk artist person. And while we're listening to this, I can go back into my word processor and we can figure out what Scott was talking about.
Task A, word processor. Say, I guess I should listen. Not. Enter. Scott. Is. More. But. With. Music period.
So we've got both going at once. Now, obviously, I can. So Scott has more fun with music, right? Now, what's cool about this is on the front, I've got my media controls. So all I have to do to pause, if I need it to be quiet for a second so I can hear myself think, I just hit the pause button on the front. I don't have to remember any type of weird keyboard commands. Hit pause again, and it starts right back up where I left off. So it's working just like your Daisy players, or your old CD player or whatever you're used to that has buttons on the front of it without having to remember any type of odd keyboard combinations. So you've got true multitasking capabilities, and I could do this with the word processor or go out to the internet while listing something off of my U2, you know, or anywhere else that I wanted to go, as compared to other products that are out there that basically do one thing at a time. For that matter, I could flip between the web and a Word document with just two keystrokes, and I don't have to wait for a page to reload or any of that type of stuff. So I've got true multitasking capabilities. Is there anything else that you wanted me to hit on multitasking?
Well, I think the biggest thing with multitasking is that when you're in terminal mode, and whether you do the terminal mode with your Braille Edge, which we'll be talking about shortly, or with the U2, you can so quickly just temporarily drop out, but you don't lose the connection.
What it reminds me of is sort of like that switch that used to be on the BrailleLite Millennium that would switch in between terminal mode and the note taker mode. And what we've sort of done is brought back that idea, except put it into a sleeker, cooler looking format. But that's what it reminds me of, being able to flip it in and out of terminal mode like that.
So you could do things like, you could have a document up with your password, let's say, for a new website, and you could cut and paste that, you could copy and paste that, and then go back into the Word, into the web, and paste that in.
Yes, you absolutely could. Which actually brings up something else when you're talking about the web. One of the things that makes this unit shine, and I know you guys have probably already covered this, but in the email client, don't forget that you can open any type of HTML email actually in HTML so that you can use the links in the email to actually go out to the websites. So you can make those links hot or make them live by
starting
to view that message. Be quiet. Like I care if the screen is dimmed. But you can make any of those links live or hot just by opening that message as a web page instead of just opening it in the email client. So that just goes into the tips and tricks of things that you can do while we're speaking of links.
There are, and as we specifically talk about the Edge, the Braille Edge, which is the 40-cell Braille display, there are definitely other displays out on the market, most of which do not have note-taking capabilities. There's one other that does, but to go suspend your application, in other words, to go from your connection to your iPhone or iOS device, you have to flip it off and turn it back on again, and then you've lost the connection. So
there's nothing like flipping off your Braille display.
That's right. You don't want to do that. So the Braille Edge and, of course, the U2s allow that to take place. So that's something we just wanted to show, is the multitasking capabilities. of both the U2 and the Braille Edge. Okay.
One of the neat things about the Braille Edge and the BrailleSense U2 is the terminal clipboard mode. And I'm sure all of you guys have had this experience with Braille using an iDevice, where you start to type something, you want to type, I want to run and play, and you hit IW, and then someone taps you on the shoulder, you turn around, then you finish typing want, and you have will aunt, right? Because it uncontracted that W into will, yeah. Because it took you more than 1 second to keep going. Not fun, right? So, what we did to try to counteract that, and I'm going to go back onto my phone.
Weather radio.
Okay.
Double tap to open.
So now I'm back on my phone, and we'll go into my messages, and we'll write my wife a text message live from the presentation.
Weather, opened. Closing weather, vote, weather, messages.
Yeah, this is proof that I'm not in Disney World.
Messages, compose. Calvin Church, Don Wilkinson.
Okay, so we'll go in to write a message to my wife.
Send, dimmed, iMessage, text field.
Now, if I'm not using the terminal for screen reader, I could write, I love you, and if I'm not careful, it will turn out as, let's see, here we go.
iMessage, text field, space, capital I.
Now, let's see how it turns out.
Space, like, space.
That's what I'm talking about. I like errors. Now, we'll give Barry time to expand.
V. Space, like Hoverberry.
There we go. That's more like it, like Avaberry. And then I could type you, and you will come out just fine. But the point of this being that if you're at all hesitant in what you're typing, I'm going to backspace over all of this. I can use my clipboard terminal mode with space, enter, and I.
Terminal clipboard.
And now anything I write on the U2 is going to be held from the Apple device until I press enter. So we'll write, I love you, Dawn.
Why? Damn, period.
Oh, that's good. Okay, that'll.
I am working, period. I am not at Disney World, period.
So, now, all I have to do to send this is press enter.
Sending.
And now it's...
Space.
And you hear the phone sort of taking it as we go.
Space. Attach media. Button. iMessage. Text field. Is editing. I love you, D1. I am working. I am not at... Send.
Oh,
button. iMessage. Text field.
And I still mistyped Dawn.
I love you, D1. I am working.
Let's fix that.
I am not at Disney World.
Maybe.
Oh, there's an extra E. That's beautiful. There we go. Who said I was accurate? And so now all I have to do is go and send this. But you get the idea of what we're doing with the clipboard terminal mode.
Send button.
Now she'll be like, why is he sending this to me? Too late now. So you get the idea behind the terminal for clipboard. It allows you to type anything, whether it's into an email, into any of your word processing apps on your phone. All it does is hold the data until you hit enter, and then it sends it to the iPhone for immediate translation so that you don't have to deal with any weird back translation issues if you wait too long to type Braille contractions. This is particularly useful if you've got someone who's relatively new to Braille, relatively new to contracted Braille, or someone who doesn't know all of their Braille contractions, you know, and is typing along slowly, and they type help, and they, you know, so you don't end up with have every like people. So, although I like that might be t-shirt worthy. Are there any questions about what we're doing with the clipboard terminal? Are you guys aware of this?
Does that work on the earlier versions or just the U2?
This works on the U2. It works in version 8, and I am trying to remember. This is where I can claim that I'm new and don't remember. Did this work in 7.5?
No.
I didn't think so, but I was hesitant to just say no.
Yeah, this has been 8 for sure, and it's now going to be rolled out for the new 1.1 for the Braille Edge. So that's coming very, very shortly.
And these are the only products that are doing anything like that. The Braille contractions issue has been an issue with Apple that they're probably not going to solve for some time to come. They solve things on their own timetable. And so this is a way to work around that problem. One of the things that we're going to show as soon as we get Scott's Wi-Fi up and going is Dropbox and some of the cool things that you can do with Dropbox on the U2.
We did that.
Oh, did you already do that?
We did a little of that earlier. We were all here for the Dropbox.
Yeah. They're like, whatever. We just want to go eat. I know how this works. All right. So that is basically your clipboard terminal mode.
Just to add on to what we just said, we talked about the terminal clipboard. And when Dave pressed I with space and enter, it just opened up an edit field on his display. It was like he was no longer
iMessage.
Connected.
Text field.
Even though
is
he
editing.
Was still connected, it looks like he's just in a notepad.
And I'm hitting that right now.
Terminal clipboard.
And so see there, it tells you and it shows it on the Braille display. And I've got the speech turned on for the benefit of the audio since overhead monitors aren't going to do a lot of us any good. But it says terminal clipboard on the Braille display and it announces it so you know that you've been suspended. You just press enter?
Yeah, that's what's nice about it. In fact, I was testing this to see what would happen. If you are not in an edit field on your iOS device and you press enter, the text just disappears into space. So it's very primitive in one way in that it doesn't care where it sends it. On the other hand, it's great because there's nothing to remember. You simply type and type and type. And when you're done, press enter. So the one thing you cannot do is paragraphs, because as soon as you hit enter twice, it's going to send that text off to whatever edit field you're at. So the way to be sure that this works is before you go into terminal mode, you want to double tap in your edit field. You want to be sure that that edit field, so you'll hear your iOS device say, is editing.
Insertion point
and
again.
You
are message.
So you
didn't.
You
are message. I message. Text field. Insertion point at end.
And so I double tapped it and said insertion point at end because it's just a blank field and I tapped it too quickly.
So that also means though that if let's say you have text already in, let's say you're doing a text message, you started it and you used your keyboard on your iPhone. If you want to add to it, you could double tap to bring your cursor to the end, go into terminal mode, and then write the rest of the message on your U2 or on your Braille Edge and press enter and it'll just append it.
The other thing you can do with this, if you go in accidentally into terminal mode,
terminal clipboard,
or terminal clipboard and you decide for whatever reason now that you're in here that you want out, you could just hit enter, or if you want to be able to escape, you can just hit your Z in the space bar.
Terminal mode.
And it goes back into terminal mode and leaves you right where you left off.
And while we're talking about terminal clipboard, which again has been around since 8.0 in the U2. Let's talk about some of the other features that are going to be added to the Braille Edge. Before I do, does anybody have any Braille Edge questions? Just period before we talk about 1.1. I know most of you are here for the.
We've had some connection issues with JAWS.
What's happening with JAWS?
Particularly, one of the big problems I've had, and I know you're going to be talking about deafblind.
Yes.
And the problem I have, one of the biggest problems I've had was we tried to set up a copy of JAWS on a deafblind lady's computer so that JAWS came up when the computer booted up, and so she would know in Braille when she was wishing to put her password in. And half the time or more, the driver wasn't working with her Edge so that she would have Braille.
Can we send you a driver that, because I've been playing with this recently since I just got my computer and I'm not a big speech person, and so a lot of the time I have my computer, the sound muted, and I've been watching the Braille Edge come up with a password, and I just want to make sure that you've got the most recent Braille Edge driver, so can we talk afterwards and get an email, and I may have some updated software for you.
And there are, Dave, have you loaded both drivers? I don't want to get too technical
yeah.
right now, but you've loaded both the JAWS yes. driver and the HIMSS driver. Both
yeah.
of them are running. Okay.
Now, not to cast aspersions on the good folks at Freedom, but part of what is happening with the Braille Edge and JAWS is the folks on Freedom have a little bit of homework that they need to do to finish this deal. We have provided all the information that we are supposed to provide to them, and we are waiting for their finished signed product, which has not been done at this point, or has not been released. And so part of, not, and again, I'm not trying to pass the buck, but we are working with a system that has not been fully worked with, especially in Windows 8. Now, earlier versions of Windows, you should be having no problems. Windows 8 is still a little bit.
Yeah, this was so.
Okay, let's work afterwards and see what we can do with that. We're around the rest of the week, and I think we'll be able to find a workable solution for you. And again, I'm not trying to just to get the issue to go away. I've done a ton of work with Deafblind, and it's something that's particularly near and dear to me.
Okay, and we'll jump back into Deafblind in just a second. I just wanted to finish up on the 1.1 that's going to be released, and actually very soon. I haven't heard an exact date, but it's now that we've got 8.0 out, it's coming out very quickly.
Sometime after today.
Are you sure about that? Maybe today.
It's already tomorrow in Korea, so I'm pretty sure
okay.
It's not going to be today.
Right.
3:45 p.m.
It'll be tomorrow.
Status bar item.
So
swipe down with three fingers to reveal the voiceover.
The terminal clipboard. Which I think a lot of people, once they realize is there, is going to be very popular, just to be able to type as quickly. The other thing that we didn't mention is, you know how when you're typing into an edit field, if you want to do a backspace, you've got to do a space D for delete. You can't just hit the backspace. So the clipboard takes care of all this. You just type away, backspace, and when you're done, hit enter. But with something that's been asked for, and I'm excited about, is the support for DOC files, RTF, and DOCX support. By that, I mean that if I am handed a DOCX file on an SD card, I can pop it into my Braille Edge. Now, we've done this on the U2 forever. DOCX has been supported since 1905.
Voice over on.
It's something like, yeah, it's been since the first Roosevelt administration.
Yeah, okay, so it's been a while. It's definitely been a while. But it's now going to be rolled out for
some folks it's new, but not us.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. On the Edge, so under $3,000, the Edge will be able to support DOC, DOCX, and RTF files. If you open up a file and read it, work with it, resave it, it is going to be saved or resaved as a TXT file. So you can't resave a file on the Edge as a doc file. You'll lose, obviously, some of your formatting and so forth, but it's really for someone who's giving you information and you just need to add to it, and it's for your own personal use. We also will be doing sort of Braille translation, and I say that because if you have an Edge and you open up a new file, right now the file is called noname.brl, it will be called noname.txt. What that means is, as you're typing in grade 2 into your file, it will actually be saved as a text file. And you don't care, because when you open it back up again, the Braille Edge knows how to show a text file in grade 2. So your grade 2 is fine for entering into that file, but you can simply give it to someone else and share it right away. So it just makes it, again, it's not going to be a full-fledged note-taking device like the U2s or the on-hand, but you are going to be able to at least share files back and forth very, very easily with sighted users or with your computer. What you cannot do is, if you have a Braille file, let's say a true Braille file, maybe you created one, maybe you got one for Bookshare, the Braille Edge will not let you resave it as a text. Well, you can save it as a text file, but it won't take out the grade 2 translation in the file itself. So that's how that's going to work. A text file will convert on the fly as you're writing into it, so it's text. A Braille file will still be a Braille file, and you would need to use something like Kurzweil or OpenBook or the U2 or your note taker of choice to convert the file back to text. But that's going to be exciting. A lot of people have asked for that. I know I have, and you're going to have that as a free upgrade. It's going to be a real, real easy upgrade, too. And I'll just tell you very quickly, you download the file, put it on an SD card, hold the F8, which is the far right button, and press the reset button. And you'll be up and running in less than a minute. And it's done. This is exciting for some people, especially for people from outside the United States. We're supporting many, many more languages now, Braille tables. So if anybody wants, I can go through them, but there's about 7 or 8 now Braille tables that have been been added and that will be available as well. So kind of exciting. We're glad to have that. But as we have tried in the past, we want to keep the Braille Edge as simple as possible. And that will continue to be the case. You're not going to have email. You're not going to have an internet browser, etc. One other thing I wanted to mention that Dave mentioned, he did it really quickly. I just want to bring us back to it. When he was starting the connection between his U2 and his Braille display, the one thing he did, I'm sorry, U2 and his phone, he made sure that he turned his phone power on, and he did that after the U2 was ready to go. In other words, when you first wake up your iPhone or iPad, it looks to your Bluetooth connectivity and makes a connection. If you don't do it in that order, you'll have to go back in under settings, under Braille, under accessibility, under general, forgot that, etc., and then double tap and reconnect. Once you've got the pairing done, if you wake your iPhone up as the last piece in the puzzle, your last connection should come to life automatically. So just something that he did, and I just wanted to hopefully you all know that. I did not, but the more you use the Braille displays with your iOS devices, you'll find that to be very helpful. Another little feature that I'm hoping most of you know, and that is the K as in keyboard with the space bar is a very good way to turn on keyboard learn when you're using your iOS device with your Braille display, because you can just press keys and learn what they do automatically.
How did you do?
K with spacebar for keyboard learn. Keep in mind, to get out of there, it's B with space for back, to back out of that. It's not a toggle. I'm not sure why. Apple has done a very, very good job in making the keystrokes normal and easy to understand. There's only about 25 of them. Maybe a few more, but they mostly make sense. As Apple does with a lot of their products, they try to simplify things so that the average user can figure things out a little bit quicker. So B for back, K for keyboard learn. I'm going to jump into the Edge specifically for a second. I'm going to talk about a feature that is not on the U2. We always talk about how wonderful the U2 QWERTY and the U2 Braille are, and it's true. But the U2 only has four function keys, where the Braille Edge has eight.
Task A, word processor. Scott is more fun with music.
Sorry, I was trying
there's
to
power really, off. There's really something exciting about these eight keys. When I am connected to my iOS device, whether it's the iPad or the iPhone, the four keys to the right of the space bar, and I don't know if I've seen this in any other displays, are page left, page right, page up, page down. The reason I like that is if I do an S chord to go to the status line, normally when you do that, you take three fingers and flick down to get to your notification center. Well, with the Edge and not with the U2, I can press S with the space bar and then press the F7, which is the page down. Actually, it's the page up command, which is like flicking with three fingers down. So it's amazing that I can get to just about every part of my iOS device with the keys on my Braille display. We also have two keys, the F1 and F2, are for rotor settings. So you know how you take your two fingers, feel like you're turning a radio dial on your FM radio to turn the rotor from, let's say, characters to words to lines to paragraphs. I can just press F1 and F2. Then I can reach over, and on the left or right edge of my Braille Edge, the up and down arrow keys will move by that rotor setting. So I like that feature, to be able to not take my hands off the Braille display. Dave mentions that he likes doing as many things in Braille as he can. Well, this he can do just about everything with his iOS device right from the Braille display. Works really nicely to do that. So I just wanted to mention a couple things that we have eight function keys. Apple does not let us change them, so they work, but that's all. You can't go in and you cannot customize them, unfortunately. And I don't think that's true with any display whatsoever.
No, Apple giveth and Apple can stop giving. So they decide a lot of the key assignments for you.
One more thing on the edge. If you are a person who likes to read books in Braille and don't care about speech, or maybe you're not using speech for, right now, there is an auto-panning feature in the Braille Edge as well. So just like on the YouTube, you could fire up a document and turn on the automatic scrolling and actually use that Braille display, a nice 40-cell display, and just let it do its work for you. In a little bit, I'm going to talk about Read2Go. I'm going to talk about Kindle specifically and how it works with Braille after we cover the deafblind, because that's another way that you can read continuous Braille. So just so many things that are available with the Braille display and with the YouTube.
One of the nice things about the Braille display is, and I'm sure you guys have already covered this, is that, by being able to read, in particular, BRF files, you've got access to all of your books from Web Braille and then the BRF versions of your Bookshare books. And so you've got a ton of electronic books that you have to do almost nothing to be able to read. And so one of the things I have going down in the booth is I've been showing people a BRF file that I downloaded from Bookshare that's just opened up on the Braille Edge, and it looks great.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, please.
Okay, this is probably a dumb question, but what is auto-panning?
Auto-scroll or auto-panning?
Yeah, what is that?
Actually, it's a great question. Some people get tired of constantly pressing the scrolling buttons on their Braille display. So you can go in and you can hit a keystroke and it will scroll for you. So it's basically the Braille display moving by itself. And then you can change the speed of it faster or slower, because maybe you're reading too slow and you're waiting for that next line to appear, or maybe it's too fast and you need to slow it down. So it's just another way to save basically on carpal tunnel. You just let the Braille display do its work for you and it'll do it. That's true in our U2 note takers and also our on hand. They will do that as well. But even on the Braille Edge, which is supposed to be just a Braille display, can handle a document and read it by itself. So it's almost like it's taking over, doing its own thing. It's possessed.
It does everything but process the information for you.
Maybe it'll do that soon.
That's coming in 8.2. Or 1.2, I guess it would be.
Wants your attention or something, can you pause?
Yes. Yeah, that's one scary thing about it. If you forget to stop it, it just keeps on going. What's the Sorcerer's Apprentice? Kind of reminds me of, you know, where they kept filling the water and it overflowed. So if you don't stop it, it's going to read the whole book to nobody. But yes, you can pause it for sure.
Is that another keystroke?
It is. Yeah, you press one of the routing buttons above one of the cells and it will stop. But again, you got to remember to do that. It's kind of funny if you don't.
It's funny after the fact.
Right.
It's one of those things that's funny a week later. It's not really funny right when you discover it 2 hours after you drift it away.
That's at the end of the book. And I'll mention one other thing about the Edge. I know we're kind of jumping between Edge and U2, so I hope we're not confusing you too much. One of the things that is also available on the Edge and the U2 is the ability, this is when it's not connected to your iOS device, setting up how you want to move through your document, whether it's by page, by line, by sentence. So again, with the Edge, which is supposed to just be a Braille display, it's much more. Once you've got one of Dave's books from Bookshare going, I can press either the left or the right arrow key, and that will move, that will tell me what the up and down arrow keys are going to do, whether it's going to move by page or line or paragraph. So it's another way to quickly move through the book itself. So a lot of features that we're slowly adding into our Braille Edge to make it just a better reading device. Dave, should we start on deafblind?
Absolutely.
I know that Dave especially wants to see what we are doing there with deafblind.
Task A, word processing.
Let's go all the way back.
Name.txt, file manager, F.
There we go. There's been a lot of attention paid to the, sort of belatedly, to the deafblind population over the last, several months, with the NDP, EDP project that's going on. And HIMSS has been at the forefront of providing solutions for the deafblind, starting with the fact that we do have a visual display built into the BrailleSense, so that if you plug a keyboard into the USB slot on the BrailleSense, then you've got immediately a face-to-face dialogue that can happen in between a visual person and a deafblind person, with the visual person using the visual display, which can be turned around so that it's facing outwards, so that you could read it sitting across the table from me, so that the visual display can be flipped either way. So you've got the visual display flipped where someone across the table is able to read it, you plug in a keyboard and you're able to talk back and forth with the deafblind person using the Braille display and the visual person using the visual display. So starting with the basic hardware of the BrailleSense U2, you've got some deafblind solutions that are built in. We also have a product that's called HIMS Chat. Are any of you all familiar with HIMS Chat?
Dave, you've used it?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, okay, I'm sorry, there are too many Daves. Isn't that a Dr. Seuss thing, too many
Mr.
Daves?
Mr. Tanner, we'll just say.
Yeah, Mr. Tanner, there you go. There are other products that are like the HIMS Chat. There aren't other ones that are free.
No.
So what HIMS Chat basically does is enable your iOS device to be used as a face-to-face device for communication with a deafblind person. So I'm going to go back into my utilities menu
calculator
and reconnect my phone.
Bluetooth serial port connected. Terminal boat.
And we're going to turn our speakers back on.
He waited to unlock his phone until last. Again.
Messages. One new item. Okay, we're going to crank up our volume.
Unmute.
And now we're going to go to home.
Search field is editing. Search iPhone.
Actually, I know where this is, ironically.
Home. Messages. Page 2 of 5. Yellow page. Wikipedia. The apps folder. Starbucks. The apps folder. 9 apps. Opening the apps folder. The apps. Opened. Access note. Flexi. HIMS Chat.
So I go to
Double tap to open.
I go to HIMS Chat.
HIMS Chat. New chat. Button.
Now, what happens when I hit the new chat button, and keep in mind that the deafblind person at this point is going to be holding the iPhone because they want to make sure that you've got a connection established, right? So when I hit new chat,
alert.
My
Hello.
Phone
I am deafblind.
Immediately
I can
vibrates.
Communicate with you using this device. To start a conversation, please double tap OK button. OK button.
And that's all there is to it. So it gives me very specific instructions. The phone vibrates that tells the deafblind person, there is a definite connection here. I then hand the phone off to the visual person, and now I can have a conversation.
What? Buzz. This? Question mark. This.
So we have what bus is this, and then I hit enter.
Send button. Conversation start.
And so now, I'm just writing back and forth. Now we'll spend all afternoon if I try to type something on this iPhone keyboard, and I will spare you. But at this point, the visual person would type something back and it would show up on the Braille display. What's nice about this, there are several things that are nice about this. One, I can keep a record of the conversation. When I go to close
save
the conversation,
button.
There's a save button, so that if I'm at a restaurant and someone has painstakingly typed out several entrees that I may want to choose from in the future, I can save that. Or if you're talking to your deafblind child and you're explaining why they're grounded, and you want them to be able to revisit that issue after you've left the room, you could save it right here. I have a 14-year-old child. Not that he's been grounded recently, but it could happen. But I can save I could save the conversation right here, or if I'm saving a bus schedule or a trip to the doctor or whatever I wanted to do.
Continue button. HIMS heading.
So
save. Continue. Save button.
And if I click on save it just asks me.
Could you save a conversation? Save button.
So I click save and then I'm gonna give it a file name.
Save button. Continue button. HIMS heading. Back button.
So you get the idea of what we're doing here,
new
right?
Chat. button.
I can also go down.
Greeting.
I can change the greeting. At the moment, the greeting.
Macros button.
Now I can set up macros, which is really cool. So I can do a few things on here that I can't do with any of the other apps that are out there with these devices.
Save chats button.
I can look at my saved chats.
Documentation button.
I can look at the documentation.
Copyright sign, copyright 2000, document, save, macros.
And
button.
Under macros, what you're mainly doing is saving phrases so that you've got shortcut phrases. So that if you type one thing, like I want a burger and fries, you can put that into a macro and have a couple of keystrokes type out I want a burger and fries. Or in my case, a veggie burger and fries. So it's an extremely powerful face-to-face communication tool. And at the same time, the deafblind person is able to get complete control of the iDevice by using the Braille display, by using the commands that are provided by Apple and by HIMSS. And then you're able to use, and this will work with the Braille Edge or with U2 or with the on-hand, so that you're, and I'm assuming with the Braille Sense Plus.
It does.
Okay, good. I'm still new, I can ask these questions. So it works with virtually all of our Braille products. It does not work with the old classic models, but that's just, you know, they're...
Actually, Dave Tanner just told me it does.
What I meant to say is that it works with all of our Braille products that have Bluetooth.
Well, I wanted to, before today, Dave, you've got Mr. Tanner, you've got an old classic, and you said you were able to pair it with your iPhone.
I've got it working with the 4S and the phone.
I was surprised, but it works.
Try that.
So I didn't think so, but...
So
yes, I got lucky and got the right Bluetooth adapter, I guess.
That's awesome.
That's good.
That is very, very cool.
And let me just explain why you would use this product. To be honest, you could launch just about anything. You could launch notes. You could launch anything. Pages. You know, whatever
macros.
You've got on your
back.
iPhone.
Back button.
Is going to work with the Braille displays. What's different about HIMSS Chat is that it allows VoiceOver to continue being used and still allow a sighted person to use the keyboard as if VoiceOver was not being used. That's and the fact that you can save your information for later, and that there are macros built in. The concept of typing on an iPhone or an iPad and having it show up on a Braille display, that's normal. That's just been done. And you can do that with just about any app, even Access Note from AFB.
Yeah.
It's just that if you use anything else, the sighted person is going to have to know how to either split tap or double tap on that screen. It's not that it can't be done, but you can't add it to the average McDonald's worker or someone who has never seen it before and them know how to use that particular keyboard. I mean, you know, VoiceOver messes sub-sighted people at first. And so this allows you to continue using the keyboard as if VoiceOver is not running. You have to run VoiceOver because you got to keep the Braille display connected.
There are also some visual things that it does. It divides out the conversation. We have to take sightlings into consideration every now and then. And they like to have things divided out where you can see, I said, you said, type things. And HIMSS Chat allows for that separation of the conversation so that the visual person can more easily make sense of it, because we have to accommodate them every once in a while.
You can also use the Bluetooth keyboard and the Bluetooth display.
Yes, you certainly can. The other thing that I found that it's a lot easier is if I'm starting to train someone who is not familiar with iOS devices or Braille displays, this has a much smaller learning curve than using something like Access Note or Pages or Element or whatever. It's a very simple program to get them started, to get them up and on their way and having conversations before the end of the day.
The other thing too, Dave, is you can use Siri. The only thing you'd have to train the person is to double tap or split tap on that button. But in theory, once you show someone that they could talk into the phone, it would show up in Braille as well.
We've done that.
It does work.
I've done that with a teacher and student in Missouri. In theory, you can use Siri.
Yeah.
How's that for a
Brian?
Sorry, I couldn't help.
So, Dave, you mentioned using a Bluetooth keyboard with the iPhone. Was that your comment that you just
yes.
made?
Yes.
So, in other words, if you wanted to, you could Bluetooth two items: your Braille display and your keyboard at the same time.
As long as it's a Braille display and a Braille keyboard, you can't do two.
Right.
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 Display.
Now, the only thing I would caution you about with that is that Bluetooth is a battery hog.
Oh, boy.
And you would probably, if you're going to do that for a long period of time, want to have some sort of backup battery for your iPhone. Yeah. Because you are going to take the power out of it in a major way.
And I have my case has a battery built into it. I don't know what I did without it. So there's lots of them out there.
You used it half as much.
Or I plugged it in twice as much.
There you go.
So Siri is a big part can be a big part of doing that as well. Another piece to the deaf-blind suite of products is something called SenseChat. Mr. Tanner, have you used that one?
Task A, okay. Media player.
SenseChat is title, not necessarily one, shovel, not for a deaf-blind person. It could be for two HIMS product users who are wishing to talk to each other in the same room.
Twitter.
So let's go ahead, Dave, and set that up. We'll just show how that works. But it's really good for a deafblind person talking to a blind person, or a deafblind person talking to another deafblind person. So
you may send or receive.
Go ahead. Whatever. Pick one, and I'll do the other.
All right. I'm sending.
You're sending.
Searching for a braille sense. Don't take or cancel. Save. Yes. Prompt button.
Okay, so I'm going to go into. I got to catch up to you here. So Dave has already gone into HIMS chat.
Programs.
With our new menu structure. I have to remember where it is.
2017.
Okay, we put this under social networking, and under social networking is Sense Chat. So did you say you're sending?
Right.
Okay, so when I press enter on Sense Chat, I have a choice.
Serial port. Send. Menu light.
Okay. Did you press enter on yours?
Yes.
Send. Okay. So Dave pressed enter on screen on. Serial send. I'm going to go down to.
Serial port. Receive. Searching for braille sense. No taker.
And I've got receive. He's got send, and this should do it. We'll see if it happens here.
Now we're waiting as it pans through the pantheon of braille senses to find the one that we want.
What did you just say?
A pantheon.
Braille sense selection.
If there are multiple device, braille sensors.
Braille sensor 2017.
I will say that. Now, are you 2017?
I don't know.
Let's hope so.
I hope so. I don't remember.
Enter the variant code. Computer edit box.
Well, anything he wants, and we'll know in a second.
0000.
Thank you for telling me that. Menu there we go.
Computer edit box.
And we're set. We're ready to go.
Now, to answer your question, if there are more than one braille sense, you've got to send a PIN code, and the other person's got to know what that PIN code is going to be. So I always use 0000 because it's easy to remember.
Because everybody else does too.
Because everybody else, which means from now on I'll use 5309.
Oh, great.
12345?
You can use whatever you want. 5309 would be an 80s flashback.
Yeah. Explain that to me.
8675309.
Tommy Two-Tone?
Jenny, don't lose that.
I always ask Jenny, who can I turn to? Whenever I call her in tech support, that's the first thing I say is, Jenny, who can I turn to? And then she says, what do you want now? Because she's heard it so much.
So now Scott and I have been magically connected via Bluetooth into a single Braille Sense U2 entity. And as I type, after I hit enter, it was, hello.
Hello. Scott, period. How is that?
Uh-oh, I was going to ask about my Brewers, and I can hear
lower
it.
Except as SMSD, edit box. I was a Brewers, multi-line edit box.
And all I do is type. It's that simple. They.
They are. For. Your.
Okay, so I just wrote I wrote something. I'm going to hit enter.
They are struggling for sure. Your cards rock. Multi-line edit box.
Oh, I love those words.
So it's very simple. And this doesn't have to be a deaf-blind solution necessarily.
This could be an I'm bored across the room during a meeting solution.
Like you guys
just make sure
right
the visual
now.
Display is turned off so that sightling worker sitting next to you isn't keeping track of the whole conversation and knows when you're talking about them.
Now this works with the U2. Would it work with like a U2 and a RailSense?
Yeah, everything but an Edge.
And the Synth Classic.
Well,
and the Synth Classic, although if you had David Sanders Bluetooth adapter.
Because you've got 6.2 and you don't have the Synth chat on
there. Oh, that's right. Bummer.
So, yeah, the Edge you can't load. There's not additional software, so the Edge would not be an option for this.
But it would work with Plus.
Yes, it does work with the Plus and the On Hand and the VoiceSense and the VoiceSense QWERTY. So everything but the Classics and the Edge. So just another way to chat, another easy way to chat. One other thing I wanted to mention about deafblind applications is a simple solution. That would be either a Bluetooth or an RF keyboard. I mean, it's so simple, but I would recommend that you consider using an RF keyboard. But that, I stumbled across this. In fact, I bought it and didn't even know I bought it. It's an RF transmitter receiver. Mm-hmm. That is stuck to the bottom of the keyboard. So I just pull that out, pop it in, and then I don't have to pair. Pairing is fine. There's nothing wrong. This does a beautiful job. I could pair this with anything, including a keyboard. But I like this little RF transmitter receiver because they at the factory have set up the pairing between that little RF. Looks almost like a thumb drive. I plug it in. U2 or the On Hand recognizes it, and immediately I have a keyboard. So that's another way that a deafblind person can chat. They would simply open up Word and hand the keyboard and just start typing. The sighted person would look at the LCD display on the U2, and you're all set. So it's a very simple way to do it. And I just wanted to also go back to our HIMSS chat and what we talked about earlier. If there's a deafblind person who is working with a sighted person a lot, that sighted person can go to the App Store and get their own copy of HIMSS Chat.
That's right.
So you don't have to be in other words, you could say, well, what if your phone gets stolen? What if the deafblind person's phone gets stolen? Well, if it's being done more than once, have anybody go get that HIMSS Chat app. It's free. It's free in the App Store.
What a question.
Yes.
The question is, is it possible for like a blind person and a deafblind person to think? What I'm thinking about is, could you hook a keyboard to an Edge?
No.
And do a conversation?
No.
No,
the Edge does not support peripheral products, although I just found out today that our little LCD display does work. So I say no, but now I've got to start playing and trying again. But my understanding is there are no drivers in the Edge for keyboards.
I was thinking is, here recently I took a USB keyboard connected to another rail display that I won't say who's been on.
It's all right.
And because the deafblind person was verbal, I was able to type to them, and they could answer.
Well, see, now you've got me my homework out for this evening. I've got a little one of those rubbery rolled-up keyboards that I can plug into the Braille Edge when I get back to the room and get my little USB adapter, and we'll see if it works.
Wow!
So ask us tomorrow.
Which Braille display was it, Dave?
AccuBraille.
And so when the keyboard was plugged in and they started typing, or you started typing, it showed up in Braille?
Yes.
Ask me tomorrow.
That's interesting. Okay.
Okay. The other thing I wanted to comment about, because I don't know if you guys know about it, there is a Logitech Bluetooth keyboard. It's actually a solar keyboard.
Yes. I saw this on Amazon.
The thing I think is so awesome is you can set that up for three devices. So F1 could get you your U2, F2 could get you your iPhone, and F3 could get you your something else.
Right, your other U2.
Your Apple.
So you could have those three pairings all ready to go.
Now, that is cool.
And you just hit the one you want.
You know,
that is
this
cool.
Is sort of related to that, Dave, and yet it's not. One of the reasons for the Bluetooth switch on the left side of the Braille Edge is to allow you to use your Edge at the same time with your computer and with your iPhone.
Right.
So it's not three, it's two. But I can flip the switch away from Bluetooth, turn it off, and then it will work with the USB port, the cable running into my computer. So kind of the same option where you can run it with two devices. That's pretty cool.
One of the other things you can do with that USB cable is keep in mind that you can plug in external hard drives to get files off of, hard drives or thumb drives, through that USB cable.
On the
Edge.
Oh, right.
There's no USB drive on the Edge that would be like that.
I'm sorry?
Can you use thumb drives at all?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. You can use any thumb drive at the Edge.
Oh, I thought you said you could.
No, you can.
You can. You won't. You can use, there's an SD slot and there's a USB port.
For that matter,
there's just one, right?
There's one of each.
And for that matter, you can use not only thumb drives, but you could plug in an external hard drive. You could plug in, it might take it a little bit, but
does
you
it
plug
drive
in a couple terabytes hard drive. Yeah, if it's, as long as it's got power, it'll drive it.
Does it make any difference what size SD card you
32 need? Gigs and less. Does not support 64 that I'm aware of, just 32.
Give me a second, we'll find out if that's right. Because now I'm curious.
What do you do?
I'm going to put a 64 gig card in the Frail Edge and see what it does.
That's the geek in him. I think we're gonna wrap things up, guys. I know it's been a long day for all of you. I appreciate you hanging with us for this. There's a lot of time involved here. We appreciate that. I just wanted to close with some general overview information about the Edge versus the U2. One of the things that
huge
we're
difference.
Pardon?
Huge difference.
Huge, and price. As another as decision makers, a lot of times I have seen people say to the counselors, especially who are making the decision, that the U2 is still a very, very, very powerful device. And it is, because we've upgraded the software, we've upgraded the RAM. And the internal memory and the processing speed. But you can get an Edge for about half the price and do some or most of what the U2 is doing. So if budgets are a concern, the Edge is definitely a Braille display, but it can duplicate some of what the U2 does. And just keep that in mind, that this is the only...
It depends on if your person is technical enough to be pairing it to them.
True. Having said that, you're right, Nancy, I agree with you, but I know someone back in Wisconsin, I keep saying that because that's where I'm from.
He doesn't like my 64-bit card.
I'm right.
I just had to find out.
Who is not technical at all. He is a radio disc jockey, and he bought an Edge. Because he said, I don't need to surf the web at the radio station, etc. I just want something that I can take notes and something that I can share files with other people. So as a straight, very primitive, I don't even want to say primitive, but as a straight note taker, you can put the Edge in that category. You have to be careful, because if you're going to be doing a lot of other downloading and doing some things, no, it's not going to do that. But some people, and he's perfect, he is very happy just having the Edge and having Notepad available and his calendar and his calculator. So, you know, just another thought that, and there's not many displays, in fact, none for this price, with this size that have the note-taking capabilities built in.
I have another question.
Okay,
just
sure.
One question, and I really don't know the answer to this. Apparently there are some vibration features.
Oh, thank you. There sure are.
And I wasn't even aware of.
There is a motor in the U2. Oh, thank you for bringing that up, Dave. I actually forgot to cover this.
I didn't know it until my wife was reading the features.
Yeah. There is a motor in the U2 so that if, let's say, a message comes in or you get an email or you hit a wrong key. Now, this isn't just for deaf blind. I have my dings turned off. I have just the motor turned on. So it's not just for someone who's deafblind. But yes, that's exactly right. We also have a new Bluetooth connection capability. if you look in the unit itself under Bluetooth connection, where if your iPhone vibrates, your U2 vibrates and vice versa. So the two units now are coordinated by Bluetooth. So if one motor vibrates, the other one does as well. So that if the person has his phone in his pocket, message comes in, the U2 will vibrate because the iPhone did. It's one thing the iPhone has done very well, has that nice vibration feature in it, and we've capitalized on that with the U2. That is also not available on the Edge. So it's funny, as we're talking today, it's like sometimes features are available in one, sometimes the other, sometimes both. But we have choices, and that's important. I will also say this is something that I was very surprised about. I'm going to ask you guys a question. In the FCC project, in other words, people who are recommending devices and who are buying them, what is selling more, Braille Edge or U2?
I would say the Braille Edge.
I would have said the same thing.
That money has to go a long ways.
It's the U2.
U2 is 3-1.
Really?
I'll tell you what part of is driving, and this is from very anecdotal evidence, but the job I had before I started with HIMSS, I did a decent amount of deafblind training, and a lot of folks seem to want that visual display for the face-to-face communication.
Yeah,
and that drives a lot of that, just the idea of being able to plug a keyboard in. Yeah. The idea of just being able to plug that keyboard in and having an immediate face-to-face device goes a long way.
It certainly is the simplest solution there is.
It's just all in one.
Yeah.
And the other reason I think that it's going like that is just because you have U2 doesn't mean you can't use it as a Braille display with your iPhone or iPad. So you lose nothing except 8 cells, and you gain a ton of features, including the vibration, the LCD display, and so forth. I was surprised, too, because of the funding situation, but we are actually seeing more U2s as part of this presentation. Also, our competitor is priced a lot higher than we are for their product. And they're still using an older note-taker for it. So you don't have to decide necessarily that you want something for a deafblind person. You just get it, just by default. And frankly, all you have to get is the U2. Go buy yourself a $20 keyboard. Go get the free app from the App Store, and you're set. There's really not that many other things that we can provide you. We can do a turnkey solution. We can provide the iPhone. We can do that, but that's not necessary.
If the person wants a QWERTY keyboard, how much is that LCD display?
$100. $100.
Or into one.
Huh?
And what's it hooked into?
USB.
Yeah.
USB. It's not a Bluetooth. At least not the one we have.
You need to make sure that you plug it into the standard USB port and not the client. On the BrailleSense QWERTY.
How do you know which one that is?
It's the bigger one, okay. The one that has the big flat blade looking guy that we were used to from years ago.
Dave, one more thing too. You probably know this. In 8.0, we talked about this earlier. You were here. No, you weren't. You can plug in a monitor. If your portability is lost, but you could put a monitor so you can watch the entire screen up in front of you if you want to do that with your U2 QWERTY. So that's another way that you could do it. The little LCD display works with the on-hand as well. There's a lot of people who like the smallness of the on-hand. Of course, it doesn't have a display, so you would use that display as well, or the iPhone. Okay, anything else, Dave, that you want to add?
Just to get back to the motor for a little bit, as somebody who's a recent adopter of the U2 after waiting for way too long for other companies to update their products and being sorely disappointed. One of the things that I like about the motor is just being able to tell it when you misspell something so you go back and correct it and don't have to wait until the end of the proof of the document. And I love that, to turn the little, just have the spell check on vibrate. And so if I type something that's not in the spell check of the dictionary, it just vibrates and I go back and check it while I'm typing. So that's something that I've sort of stumbled upon that's become one of my favorite features of the U2. I'm a big fan of not having speech, not having dings, not having anything that draws attention to myself.
Be quiet.
I draw attention to myself enough on my own. So that's just a passing sort of end trick that I've discovered and been very happy with.
Well, we're we're pretty much wrapped up for the day. Thank you again for being here.
We can hang out for a bit. We do have the various bits and pieces of our devices. We have the Braille Edge, the BrailleSense, U2, QWERTY, Standard. I don't know if we have any of the U2 or the Braille, the voice senses with us, the items without the displays, but if you want to come up and look at anything hands-on, we'll be here. And I'll let Scott close it out, but I just wanted to say thanks for this opportunity.
Okay.
Thank you, guys.
You're welcome. Thanks for staying with us.